Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all here this Sunday as we gather to offer our praise to the Lord, as we are touched by God's grace and love. May we also, through our time together, have a glimpse of heaven. There's one notice for you, and that is that elders are reminded that communion cards and the duties that you're about to undertake are available for uplift at the back of the church after the service. Let us worship God, let us sing to his praise and glory in hymn 45 at Psalm 67, Lord, bless and pity us. Shall we join together in prayers? Let us pray. We gather here this morning, eternal God, our Creator, acknowledging that as you made us, you encourage us in the way of your love through your gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We come here just as we are, because you meet all who come to you with kindness and compassion, giving ever new insights into your great purpose for creation, revealing ever new ways in which we ourselves can serve that purpose. We come to you knowing that we are dependent on you for life and breath and everything we have and are. Yet you give us value in ourselves as your loved children. We thank you that as we worship, that our worship pleases you as a child's gift pleases loving parents. Keep us a generous people in our service to each other and our neighbours. We come to you confidently, knowing our importance to you, which we could not claim for ourselves apart from your gift to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. But for all that, as we come, we know that too often we are not generous. Our worship is a routine. We don't serve our neighbours as we should. We don't bless one another as we must. So we ask that you would forgive us, that in the tranquility of this place, on this day, we might hear that word which makes us new, offers the fresh start, lifts us to yourself, that we may go from this place renewed and encouraged, knowing that we have been with you. Loving God, as we offer ourselves to you, we ask that we would become signs of your love still at work in the world. People committed to follow Christ, the one who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to stay here for the word to the children today, which I hope's all right. Is it? Yep, thank you. But that doesn't mean to say we're not going to sing hymn 504. You'll notice immediately this is a hymn based on sharing. The five loaves and the two fish, and 5,000 people were fed. A widow who gave everything, her two pennies in the plate, and the refrain, all that I have, I will give Jesus all that I have. I've been at the General Assembly, which started a week past yesterday, and in the General Assembly, you do at times wonder whether you're in a time warp or a timeless world. I might reflect on some of the assembly to the older folks, but for the younger folks, and that means all of us, because we are all young people in God. On a story from last Saturday morning, just as the assembly was getting underway. There's always a report from the Scottish Bible Society, and there is always a gift given to the incoming moderator. Mine is a Bible of my choice. It's the Message edition of the Scripture, and when I was given it, I promised that I would use it, and I have. The Bible looks quite new. The box that I keep it in is battered and taped up. Elaine Duncan, the chief executive of the Bible Society, talked about how precious the Word of God is. How precious Scripture is. And we sometimes take it for granted. And she told a story. And after she had finished, and as we stopped the first session of the General Assembly, I happened to bump into Elaine, and I said to her, thank you very much for that. I'm going to be talking in St. Paul's in Mulgai to the youngsters, and we're talking about sharing. And I knew that sometime in the General Assembly, I would have something that I could say that would help people to understand. Elena said, you've just given it to me. She talked about a Bible. She had been visiting Cuba, and she visited a congregation, and they had one Bible in the place. One for the whole congregation. Now there's a problem. What would we do if there was one Bible in this church and we all wanted to read it? One Bible. Well, what happened, Elaine said, was the Bible's made up of lots of books, from Genesis right through to Revelation, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And what they did was they decided that they would read the Bible together. And so what they did was they tore a page out. And then they tore a book out. And they gave Genesis to somebody to read. And then they tore another page out. And they tore another book out. And they gave somebody Exodus to read. Everybody had a book all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And then, because there were more people than there are books in the Bible, they split it again, and they passed it out, and people read the Scriptures, not in order. The person who had Genesis 1 week swapped with someone who might have had Isaiah, swapped with someone who might have had John's Gospel, swap with someone who might have had 1 Corinthians. And as they worked through the year, everybody read 1 Bible. Not in the right order, but they read 1 Bible. I prepared 3 sheets to give you the idea. The first sheet I was going to hand out simply says, Jesus. So somebody would have read that. I wonder what you think the next word might have been. Loves. Jesus loves. And everybody will know the last answer. So what is it? Correct. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. The Bible exchanged. People grew in faith, underpinned by the key message, Jesus loves you. What a way to learn the scriptures. I said to Elaine, how hard that must have been. Imagine if I picked up this Pew Bible here in St. Paul's today and carefully torn out the book of Joshua and come round and handed it to you. Or hauled out the letter of Galatians and handed it to you. I said to Elaine, difficult to do. Imagine if I'd picked up my presentation Bible and torn it apart. Hard to do. Elaine said, you must have won that you could tear up. Hard to do. So the little black book I had is a diary. And I won't be using January, February or March 2019 again. But I hope the illustration works. 2 little fishes, 5 loaves of bread. 5,000 people by Jesus were fed. A lad who had his picnic gave it to Jesus, 5,000. An old woman who had nothing and was never likely to have much put everything into the collection plate. And people looked at her. And Jesus said, hold on a minute. It's not how much you put in. It's how much it's worth to you. And actually, she'd given everything. Let's sing this. 2 little fishes, 5 loaves of bread, 5,000 people by Jesus were fed. We are indeed gathered here by and in the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. John's revelation is not easy reading. Besides being a pastor, John is a poet. He's fond of metaphor and symbol, image and illusion. He's passionate in his desire to bring us into the presence of Jesus, believing and adoring. But the demands he makes on our intelligence and imagination are well rewarded, for in keeping company with John, our worship of God will almost certainly deepen in urgency and joy. So writes Eugene Peterson. With that in mind, let's turn to page 1249 and read John chapter 21, starting at verse 10. And the angel carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. He showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as its long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And in the Gospel according to St. John chapter 14, reading from verses 23 to 29, and that's on page 1082. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Thanks be to God. May God follow with his blessing the readings of his holy word, and to his name be all praise and glory. Amen. This is the third occasion I've been with you since Fergus went off for his treatment. And each time I've used a prayer, the same prayer, I would like to use it again. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray especially today for our minister Fergus and his wife Gabrielle and their family. As Fergus goes through this time of treatment, we would ask you to be with him and Gabrielle as they face the future with uncertainty and anxiety. Lord, Bring them assurance that you are there with them both, bringing them a sense of your peace and your blessing in the difficult days that lie ahead. In Christ's name, Amen. Let's sing again together in the hymn 272, Father of Peace and God of Love, we own your power to save. A word of prayer. God of all grace, as we gather to think about your word, we ask that you would speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. As I mentioned already, I spent most of last week at the General Assembly. And I recognise in saying that that this seems positively mundane compared to the poetry and imagery of John glimpsing heaven in Revelation, or Jesus offering his parting gift of peace. But nevertheless, I was at the General Assembly, and sometimes it was heaven, sometimes it wasn't quite heaven, and sometimes it wasn't at all. But it was an assembly which laid foundations of a new way for the church, or at least a new way for the church to be organised so that its mission and ministry is enhanced in the 21st century with proper, recognisable governance structures, new trustees, councils and committees reshaped, so there are two main strands for the task to which we are called. Sustaining the needs of congregations as we strive to enhance our ministry and mission on the one hand, while on the other being called to service in the wider community and world. Remembering, of course, always that Christ is the King and Head of the Church, and the Bible is the Word of God to church and world. And that's where we have the ground of our being, here in this place on this day. Our scripture readings are drawing us on as the Easter season draws towards Pentecost. In a fortnight, and I'll give a trail, I'll be back. And if you're not here, I will wonder why. I'll be back on the day of Pentecost, all being well. On that day when the Spirit came, the Spirit which in hymn 272, the paraphrase of Hebrews 13, is the one which seals our souls. And as we journey towards Pentecost, we have a glimpse of heaven in Revelation. It has all the beauty and colour of a poet's imagination or an artist's skill. It's hardly surprising, because Revelation was a dream, a vision, insights of the future. And today's chapter has an absolutely awesome beauty about it. It takes the imagination away to think about it as John tries to describe the indescribable. You see, John is trying to encourage us somehow in our mind's eye and in our imagination to discover heaven, to see the unseeable, at least the unseeable on this side of time. Let me offer an illustration. While I was minister in Hindland, I met an artist and got to know him well. His name was Walter Fleming. If any of you are old enough to remember the Glasgow Evening newspaper, the Bulletin, If you don't, then the next bit's not going to mean anything. The bulletin had a masthead and the B had a particular curve in the end of it. Walter designed that masthead. Anyway, he wasn't well. I visited him in hospital. His speech wasn't very good. And we sat and he was reflecting and he was reminiscing. And he told me that he remembered his first box of coloured pencils. The speech wasn't very clear. It was a bit hesitant, but he described the pencils using his hands. I took the pencils out of the box one by one, he said. Blue, dark blue, red, yellow, green, the colours that are so familiar to us. Then he said, "Do you know, I didn't have a box of coloured pencils. I saw a rainbow." That is artistic skill. That is what John is trying to do for us as he describes heaven, offering us this glimpse of heaven. Jesus offers us no such glimpse of heaven. The vividness that he brings is quite different. He brings a vividness in the words of the King James Version of the scripture, "The Word was made flesh, which dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." Jesus speaks of heaven. His word is the link between God the Father and created humanity. His word is a word from heaven. From that place, as one translation puts it, from the city which shimmered like a precious gem, light-filled, pulsing light. Listen. Jesus says, "The message you're hearing isn't mine. It's the message which the Father sent me. I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you." This is Jesus talking to his disciples after the Last Supper in the piece in St. John's Gospel. "The Spirit will remind you of all the things I've told you." Jesus then goes on, "Listen, I'm leaving you in well and whole. And my parting gift to you as I leave is peace. I'm not leaving you the way you're used to being left, that is, feeling abandoned or bereft. So don't be upset, don't be distraught. I'm going away, I'm coming back. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm on my way to the Father, because the Father is the goal and purpose of my life. I've told you this in advance," he says, "before it happens, so when it does happen, the confirmation will deepen your belief in me." The hope of the coming Spirit. Pentecost Spirit, the Spirit which gives us the fruit by which we live, of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, fidelity, self-control. Discerning listeners among you would have heard me say I'd spent most of the week at the General Assembly. I wasn't there on Wednesday. But it's all right, I confessed. You see, on Wednesday, I had been asked to do something really more important than the General Assembly, where there were another 700 people. But I had been asked to give a task which only I could do. I'd been invited by the family to give a tribute to a minister who had died aged 98. He was ordained in 1948. He'd been a minister of the gospel for 71 years, and he and his wife had celebrated, wait for it, 70 years of married life last October. This was no special minister, but in every way he was a special minister. I'd encountered him in Greenock when we moved there in the late 60s. He was the family minister for me for 2 or 3 years until I was married and moved to Glasgow. But Alec Chestnut was a minister who lived with a glimpse of heaven and the gift of telling people about the grace of Christ. I was very privileged and honoured to give the tribute. The tribute to a man who had been a minister nearly as long as I've been on the planet, who lived his life faithfully in the Spirit under the direction of the God who called him and the Christ who sustained him and the Spirit which encouraged him and his wife. In trying to sum up Alec's ministry and life, I couldn't help but think of the paraphrase, "The Saviour died but rose again." It gave me a connection with the General Assembly, which I was missing, a connection with the family. It gave me a connection with myself, and it gave me a connection with Christ and the hope that we have through our faith. You see, a predecessor of mine as moderator of the General Assembly, the very Reverend Professor Alan Main, described that paraphrase as the most sublime expression of the Christian faith. The words were on my mind a lot on Wednesday, because last week, in the stairwell at the Royal Mile entrance to the Assembly Hall, stretching from floor to ceiling, there was a piece of public art. It was an imitation of the sacred chain. It's an art installation. It was created by Glasgow-based artist Gardner and Gardner, who have created temporary site-specific installation made from 150 metres of crocheted chain stitch. An amazing task, visually linking the skylight of the stairwell to the terrazzo 4 floors below. The piece gets its title, Sacred Chain, from the paraphrase to which I referred. It truly was incredible. From one angle, it looked like the river in Revelation, the pure river of the water emerging from the throne. From another, it looked like that chain which mysteriously binds us. In the context of a tribute to that minister, to the General Assembly and our worship today, in the context of remembering that we all belong in the communion of the saints and we are joined by that sacred chain expressed in the vision and exemplified by the Lord himself, to whom I give the last word. When we think of heaven and earth in heaven, let me offer my glimpse of heaven, my rainbow gift to you. My rainbow gift to you is quite simply Jesus' words. This is my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. You've heard me tell you I'm going away and I'm coming back. What a fantastic glimpse of heaven. Before I finish, I would like to read the paraphrase. And I would like to invite you to listen or not listen, to let your imaginations go to that place where all is bright, beautiful, good. The Saviour died, but rose again, triumphant from the grave, and pleads our cause at God's right hand, omnipotent to save. Who then can e'er divide us more from Jesus and his love, or break the sacred chain that binds the earth to heaven above? Let troubles rise, and terrors frown, and days of darkness fall. Through him all dangers we'll defy, and more than conquer all. Nor death, nor life, nor earth, nor hell, nor time's destroying way can e'er efface us from his heart or make his love decay. Each future period that will bless, as it has blessed the past. He loved us from the first of time. He loves us to the last. Shall we pray? We bless you for your word. We thank you for your word. Keep us in your love, in Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Healing river of the Spirit, bathe the wounds that life brings. The hymn 707. I'm sure you would want me to say a word of appreciation to our organist today, Bob Harvey. I would like to say too that he didn't have any hair when he came in, so it's nothing to do with the fact that he saw me. Bob and I have encountered each other from time to time over the years, and it's absolutely always a joy to hear Bob on the organ. And today you'll see that he's going to play during the offering the Andante Tranquillo from the Capriole Suite by Peter Warlock, and we are looking forward to it, Bob. Thank you. Your offerings will now be received. Shall we pray? We bring our gifts to you, loving God. We ask that you would use that which we have placed in the offering bag today, or have paid by direct debit or standing order for the work of your kingdom, that you would take these as gifts from us to you, to be used in the work of your kingdom, to be used in the work of being the church in the world, to be used for your glory through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We come to you remembering our world in all its wonder and beauty, at its best, a perfect creation, at its worst, flawed and weary. But you made it, and you will keep it, and you will enable us to be good stewards. Teach us your will. As we gather today, we pray that you would add to the spoken words those thoughts and prayers that each one of us brings, which are inspired by your Spirit, and even as they are uttered, we know that you are answering. Sometimes we are troubled and puzzled by all that is evil in the world. Sometimes that makes us dare to trust you. Sometimes it encourages us to pray for those who feel overcome by the darkness that surrounds them. We pray today for those who live in difficult places, in Israel, Palestine, in the Yemen. We pray for those who live under the threat of constant violence and persecution for their faith. We pray for those who strive to be a light in the darkness, carrying in their hand the candle of hope which Christ offers. And as we pray for them, may your compassion and concern be shown in us, that when we have the opportunity to heal, help and comfort, we would not let it go. As we pray for our world, we pray for our country. Politically, we are in difficult times. And so we pray for wisdom for those who have been elected to lead. Discernment for parliamentarians in Scottish and UK parliaments. We remember their work and offer you our prayers for them. We remember too Her Majesty the Queen and her household. We thank you for the blessing that they are and pray your strength in them as they too live through these times of political turmoil. We pray for our community, our congregation. We remember those who are bereaved, those who are living with the pain of grief. May they hear your word, "Blessed are the ones who mourn, for they shall be comforted." We remember those who are disappointed today because life has dealt them a sore hand. May your word encourage. We remember those who face surgery and ask that you would be with them as they entrust themselves to this care of doctors and nurses, physiotherapists, anaesthetists. May your healing be on them. We pray for those for whom today is a day of happiness. The joy of family life and a new baby. The joy of a birthday. The joy of a forthcoming marriage. Keep reminding us that you are in every part of our lives. Whether times are great or times are not great, you are the constant. You are the one who brings us peace and gathers us into the harmony of your love. God of all grace, as we offer our prayers to you, in the silence, may you hear us as we bring our personal prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would accept our prayers which we offer you as we walk with you on the way to which you have called us, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our concluding praise today, Lord of creation, to you be all praise. Number 500. Now go in the love and peace and joy of the Lord, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of you and everyone you love, today and always.